I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
Here's the only problem I have. I think the offensive line is going to be outstanding. I'm really excited about them. If it's the same offense that Ben did, which I'm assuming he did at Detroit, you know, there's a lot of that zone inside running stuff. I don't know. I'm not sold that DeAndre Swift is that type of back. I'm just really not. Yeah. I think the guy's as good as anybody in the league on the edges with right. the screens and the perimeter stuff. But is he between the tackles? I don't care who the offensive line is. You got to have a back that's committed to running for those hard, tough yards inside. And I'm just not sure that he's that guy for us.
That was Dave Wannstedt, but you knew that, on the Mully and Haw show today. Mully and Ruthie this morning right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Ruthie in for Haw. I'm Rami in for Spiegel and Holmes. That's right. I can do it for both of them, at least for now. Lawrence will be here at 5 o'clock to take the steering wheel and drive us home until 6 o'clock, and I'm live from the Hyundai Score Studios. We got coming up this hour, White Sox All-Star Shane Smith joining me at 4:25, and still time to take your calls, your text, 312-644-6767. And Wani there, obviously talking Bears right here on The Score and the state of their offensive line, which he thinks is going to be real, real good. And I think it has the potential to be real, real good as well. I think a lot about these Bears has the potential to be real good. They've won the offseason yet again. I saw another article the other day saying they were the most improved team in the division and actually putting them ahead of the Lions and the Vikings in terms of just pure roster talent. I don't know that I'd go that far just yet, but it obviously has been a really exciting offseason for Bears fans, and that all starts with the head coach hire of Ben Johnson, who you heard Wani talking about there as well. And when it comes to Ben Johnson and him sort of putting his stamp on this football team, when it eventually is Ben Johnson's football team, and I say eventually because as impatient as I am, and I know a lot of you out there also very impatient when it comes to this Bears team because of what we've been watching for so long here as Bears fans and all the suffering that we've been through. This isn't going to be fully Ben Johnson's team. It won't have the Ben Johnson stamp on it right out of the gates. It takes time in a number of ways for a coach to really have a football team take on his image, his vision, his personality in terms of what the roster finally looks like and, of course, what the final product out there on the field looks like. Because I think a lot of people look at this Bears team and look at last year and go, well, there was a lot more there. This is a much better roster than what that record might indicate and what a 10-game losing streak might indicate. And I say no. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think this was every bit a 5-win team. I think this was every bit a team that lost and earned 10 losses in a row. And yes, some of that was coaching. But you're not that bad just because of coaching. You don't struggle that hard and that long just because of coaching. And whether we're talking about talent or we're talking about culture and the attitude of a football team that they bring to practice on a day-to-day basis and to a game on Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays when they play on those days as well. There were deeper issues than just Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron and a poorly coached football team. There were bigger issues than that throughout the roster. And again, for both the reasons of just talent, fit, and culture and personality, there are going to be guys on this roster that had some hype that had some expectations, whether it be from me or you or others in the media or Ryan Poles himself. There were plenty of guys that came in with some hype and some excitement and some expectations who we're all going to have to sort of reevaluate. Well, Ben Johnson is going to have to reevaluate, and in the process, we are also going to reevaluate these guys, the role that they play on this football team, and whether or not they can be part of what eventually, like I said before, eventually, not this year, is Ben Johnson's football team. A team that takes on his personality, his vision, his impression. There are going to be guys on this roster that are going to be hard to look at and say, yeah, he ain't it. That he's not part of this whole thing. I've been saying this for a while since the Ben Johnson hire, and Jason Leisure, of course, familiar to listeners of this very program, and in the Sun Times, he talked about this a little bit with an article recently put up, which Bears have most to prove to new coach Ben Johnson when training camp opens. And he points to a number of guys. He talks about DeAndre Swift. I personally, now maybe in 2 or 3 years from now, actually the way running backs are cycled through and just his contract situation, chances are DeAndre Swift is not the Bears' number one running back and maybe not even on this roster in a few years, but I don't know that there is a sense of urgency or that running back and DeAndre Swift is at the top of the list of things that I think Ben Johnson needs to be changed out or swapped out, because they had opportunities this offseason. If they wanted to upgrade or add at the running back position, whether it be through free agency or through the draft, they had opportunities to do that this offseason and just haven't done that. And so, and on top of that, DeAndre Swift's most productive time in Detroit was probably that one season that he had under Ben Johnson or working with Ben Johnson. And so I think he walks in and he goes, yeah, maybe not the guy that I want at running back, but I can work with that. I can work with DeAndre Swift. He talks about Jason Leisure, that is, talks in this article about Cole Kmet, and plenty, so much speculation about Cole Kmet. And by the way, if you're reading what's being portrayed as trade rumors when it comes to Cole Kmet, they're lying to you. Those are not rumors. That's just speculation. That's just people, and most of them not here in Chicago and following this team on a day-to-day basis, looking at the fact that they drafted Colston Loveland, looking at Cole Kmet's contract situation, and the fact that he's now sort of an extra tight end, and putting the pieces together and going, oh yeah, there's a guy that they might trade. It's that time of year where a lot of guys and gals are writing articles like that, are doing segments on shows like this of who are good trade candidates, and that's all it comes down to with Cole Kmet. That's not coming from the Bears, that Ben Johnson doesn't want him or doesn't think he can use him. That's not coming from the front office and Ryan Poles. It's just people putting the pieces together and saying, yeah, maybe the Bears trade Cole Kmet, and maybe there is something there, but I don't think there's anything there. Ben Johnson notoriously loves 12 personnel, two tight end sets, and I think that while Colston Loveland probably is the Sam Laporta in this configuration, there's still room for Cole Kmet to get plenty of snaps and plenty of targets and be part of this offense. And I think early on, especially when Colston Loveland is sort of learning the ropes of the NFL, that you'll see Cole Kmet be kind of a bigger part of this offense. And then things will shift and you'll see Loveland sort of take that role. Another guy that's mentioned in this article by Jason Leisure, and a guy who I've kind of had in the back of my mind as one of these players who just might not be it, who just might not be part of the Ben Johnson Bears, is DJ Moore, man. And that would be a hard pill to swallow, because I don't know about you, I loved DJ Moore when they brought him in, on and off the field. And I'm not 100% out on DJ Moore by any stretch. But you got to look at a few factors when it comes to DJ Moore and why I say he might not be part of what eventually is the Ben Johnson Bears. And if you got a guy who you don't think will be a part of this thing, 312-644-6767. Give me a call or shoot me a text. Get in on the show.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
When talking about DJ Moore, and just a few things. One, and I know it's on some level maybe not fair to put this on DJ Moore. It's the ultimate team sport, and there's 53 guys on the roster, and there's 11 guys on offense, and 11 guys. I understand. Coaches, I know the whole thing. And maybe I'm being unfair when putting this on DJ Moore. He's never been part of a winning team. And he's always been one of the guys who people look to perform and lead the way for winning teams when they had expectations in Carolina when he was there and subsequently after he was traded to the Bears. He's not just a role player. He's not a guy who's going to come in and sort of fly under the radar. He's one of the dudes that's supposed to come in and change things and play a big role in winning football games, and he's never done that. He's never been part of a winning organization. Again, maybe not fair to put that on him, but that's on him. Whether I like it or not, whether you like it or not, whether he likes it or not, he's never been part of winning. The second thing is, we saw a side of DJ Moore last year that we hadn't seen before and that I didn't particularly enjoy. And again, don't want to make this a bash DJ Moore segment. Still got a lot of love for the guy. Obviously a lot of talent there. And maybe I'm wrong, and hopefully I'm wrong, because the less you have to change, the sooner we get where we all hope we're going. But we saw a side of DJ Moore last year that was kind of pouty. When things weren't going good for the Bears and for him personally, kind of, you know, some of the bad body language and things of that sort. Walking off the field, well, jawing back and forth with Caleb once or twice. We saw a side of DJ Moore that we hadn't seen before, and Ben Johnson has been very vocal about how he wants his players to sort of portray themselves and comport themselves on the football field. But three is just sort of reading the tea leaves. And just for clarity and clarification, DJ Moore's contract dictates he'll be around here for two more years. It all but dictates he'll be around here for 25 and probably 26. But like I said, this thing taking on the mold of a Ben Johnson isn't going to happen overnight. It might be a year or two before this thing is fully Ben Johnson's football team and vision. But you just drafted Roma Dunze last year. Then this year, you went and drafted a wide receiver in Luther Burden in the second round, who a lot of people gave a first-round grade to. Not to mention Colston Loveland and the role that they envision him playing and how many targets and receptions that's going to eat up and fewer for DJ Moore. I look at this, and I see a number of factors that maybe indicate that DJ Moore is not part of the, or possibly not part of the Ben Johnson Bears. Because there is going to be some sort of like roster cleaning that needs to happen for this Bears team before they're fully Ben Johnson's football team. And all those guys that I just talked about and others could be candidates for what I'm talking about. But for my money, DJ Moore looks like the most likely. And again, I hope I'm wrong about that. I hope he lives up to all the potential and expectations that we all had for him and still have for him. I really do. And I got people in the text pointing out, yeah, they're really bad. DJ Moore on the Chiefs and they aren't winning. I get it. I understand. It's not entirely fair to put that on him, but when you're one of the captains and one of the premier players for losing teams over and over and over again, you're going to wear some of that. I'm seeing a lot of Cole Kmet as the guy that people think might not be part of this thing when all is said and done. We'll see. Still plenty of time to go. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Is that right? 2 weeks till camp? 3 weeks till a preseason game for the Chicago Bears? That feels good to say.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.